speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome on this Monday, July 8th, 2019. I'm David Knight, your host. Today we're going to take a look at, and I think the key story today, and we're going to talk about health. And we're going to talk about how big corporations are shutting down our health. And I think no better example of this is the story that we had on the Drudge Report over the weekend from Infowars.com, a Don Salazar story. Dr. Find, $100,000. Because she made statements questioning the safety and the efficacy of vaccines. Now, this is in Canada, and this was not the government. It was the Chiropractic Association. But these types of organizations and collusion are what are really behind the eradication of our free speech and our other rights. And so we're going to take a look at this in terms of the bigger picture. What would the big pharmaceutical companies that, put out the opioid epidemic for years? They advertised on cable TV news. They got a seal of approval from the FDA, had no problem with that. And now they're looking at hundreds of billions of dollars of lawsuits. And you've already had several cities, local jurisdictions, and many, many states have joined in multi-billion dollar litigation against them already. It's kind of like big tobacco. Big Tobacco would line up and they would do commercials. I remember when I was a kid, you'd have commercials. More doctors choose this brand of cigarette than any other brand of cigarette. Would they lie to you for money? Of course they would. Would the government cover up those lies and allow them to put a product on the market that is harmful? Of course they would. The only difference with vaccines is that no matter what they do, whether the vaccines themselves are inherently harmful or whether there is liability associated with just, let's say that they're 100% safe for the sake of argument, and there's some problem with the manufacture or the storage or the application of those vaccines, regardless of what it is, you know, they're not held to any product liability standard whatsoever. Doesn't that make you the least bit suspicious? You know, nothing is 100% safe and effective. We've also got a story here about a Fox News anchor. And I think it's very appropriate in terms of what is going on with the FDA coming out against stem cells. And I've had people push back on me on social media. One person said, well, you know, you can still get your stem cells. You just have to pay for it yourself. And you're whining because insurance companies aren't paying for it. It's like, no, I'm not whining about that. I'm whining because they stopped a treatment for which there is no other treatment, just like we've seen with uncontrollable seizures and how effective CBD was. And they kept that away from kids. They kept that off of the market. They made parents risk jail to get that treatment for their kids. But when you talk about something like stem cells, even though it is more effective, and you're talking about epileptic seizures, you're talking about something that's 75% effective, according to a new study. Why are these studies being done? Well, because you've got people who, like John Boehner, were unalterably opposed to legalizing any forms of marijuana or hemp. And now he is unalterably for it because he sees the green money on the other side of that. And that's why they're doing it now. And now they admit, yeah, you know, it's 75% effective. Well, you know, stem cell treatment is greater than that for many of these conditions. Big pharmaceutical companies are panicking. And so they've got the FDA out there shutting down clinics and taking away people's own stem cells, like my own family's. Stealing it. It's a case of civil forfeiture, isn't it? Oh, yeah, let's forfeit your stem cells that you would use to treat yourself. Are they going to do that to this anchor who's giving up part of his kidney to save the life of his sister? Ask yourself, what's the difference? We'll be right back. Stay with us.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome on this Monday, July 8th, year of our Lord 2019. I'm David Knight, your host. We're going to take a look at what's going on with government collusion with big corporations. And we talk about this with healthcare. We talk about this with free speech. It is the essence, I think, of the corruption that we see in this country that is taking away our freedom. It is this collusion between government and big corporations. It is truly fascism. And if the fascists, the anti-fascists, were really opposed to this, they would be protesting that. Instead, what they're doing is trying to take away your free speech, doing it violently and being allowed to do that, being applauded. Anybody that criticizes that is purged off of social media, but not the people who commit the violence, not the people who wear the masks. And so who really is wearing the masks? It really is coming from the government in the first place. This censorship, as we can see over and over again. Now you have France saying that they want social media to censor people for them immediately. And we've heard this over and over again, not only in Europe, but in our own government. The hearings where you had social media representatives there on Capitol Hill. They said, why is this InfoWars story trending? Oh, well, Congressman, can I talk to you that? Talk to you about that privately later? Well, okay, well, yeah, we'll talk about that privately. And then not too long after that, all of them colluded at the same time to take down Alex Jones and InfoWars off of all social media. And now we have, if you remember, last Friday, I had Leo Zagamian. He was here for 3 days, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday last week. He took a picture of himself with Alex Jones, posted it up on his Instagram account, and boom, he was taken off of Instagram just for posting a picture of himself with Alex Jones. Now, President Trump is going to have a social media conference. Ben Garrison, I'm glad, is going to be going there. Of course, immediately, as that was put up, as you've seen in the news, immediately Ben Garrison was attacked. It's up on Drudge Report by CNN's Jake Tapper and many others because he is a classic cartoonist, and they don't like that. These people have, a political cartoonist uses humor. And he also makes political statements. They don't like either of those things. They don't like humor, and they don't like political statements that they don't agree with, and they're going to try to control everything. I'm really glad that Ben Garrison is going to be going there. I hope he passes along to President Trump what needs to be done. There seems to be some minor awareness of the situation from President Trump. But again, I don't know that Alex Jones is going. Maybe Alex, I haven't heard anything about Alex being invited. Why would they have a conference talking about social media censorship and not talk to the one person, as they didn't do immediately after Alex Jones' InfoWars was taken down in August of last year? Marco Rubio and these other people who were having a show trial didn't want to talk to Alex, pretended they didn't know who Alex was. You know, Marco Rubio, who are you? I don't know. I don't go to your website, InfoWars. I don't know about that. Later admitted that he was lying. I don't go to your website. How do you know he's got a website if you have no idea who he is? And of course, everybody knew who Alex Jones was, and it was the top of the news, and it was the harbinger of what was to come. And we've now seen that happen to a lot of people. Why wouldn't you talk to Alex Jones? I don't understand. President Trump got angry at Fox News. He said they forgot the people who got them here, got them where they are. Yeah, I know, President Trump. I know. We can say that about a lot of people, can't we? Sunday talk shows are falling in the ratings. Establishment media is collapsing. That's why they have to come after alternative free media like InfoWars. That's why they have to come after your free speech, because they want to control, as I said before, everything you see, everything you hear, everything you say. You will see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. These big social media companies were created and aided in their establishment by the political establishment, by the military-industrial complex, by the surveillance state. This whole thing was coming from DARPA. It's why you should be very concerned about the partnership between DARPA and Microsoft to not only guard our news, but guard our election counts. I mean, that It's one thing to propagandize people, to make sure that you've got a monopoly on what is said. That's what NewsGuard is about. That's what the browser labels and the labels that are put up on Google and on YouTube, pushing back against anybody who questions their core programs, their core narratives on things like climate change and other issues. But when it comes to that, even if you're able to get that information out, even if everybody shows up and votes, if they count the votes, which is what DARPA is working with Microsoft to do, Election Guard is an operating system for every voting machine. And we need to be aware of this, and we need to get rid of voting machines. If people really cared, and I think those of you listening do, you would monitor and you would watch and you would volunteer being a counter. You would have humans counting it, humans watching it from both parties, all different sides. That's the only way to have a free and fair election. And it can be done. It can be done. It isn't impossible. But they're going to rig what you see in here. They're going to rig even the vote count. That is what's coming up. So today I want to begin. We're going to get into anti-social media stuff. We're also going to talk about how they rigged things with the Jeffrey Epstein case, and that's now starting to come unraveled. I think what they're doing with this is that even though President Trump has been, they attempted to frame him, he was essentially cleared of it, but they're going to continue to come after him. They're going to continue to smear him. It doesn't matter that they have no evidence, right? We've seen this for over 2 years. They don't have to have any evidence. They don't have to have anything that's real. They came after President Trump with a dirty dossier, a filthy fiction that was a product of the minds of people like Bill and Hillary Clinton. They came after him for 2 years on that. There was nothing there. So I think, quite frankly, that's perhaps what's behind these latest attacks against Jeffrey Epstein. We'll see. We'll see how this rolls out. But before we get into that, I want to talk about this story that was on Drudge Report over the weekend from Infowars.com. Doctor fined $100,000 for anti-vax social media posts. Again, don't you dare speak on social media, anything that they don't like. And vaccines are one of those things. You want to make sure that you get capped? You want to make sure that anything that you post on social media is shadow banned, that people are not notified when you post? Well, then, you know, go after the military-industrial complex and its wars. Go after big pharmaceutical and its profits. Talk about vaccines. You'll make sure that you get the same treatment I've been given on social media. $100,000 per year for 10 years are going to fine her. They're nice guys. They're not going to make her pay the entire $100,000 all up front. No, they give her an easy payment plan. The ruling that was publicized Thursday ordered a doctor, Dr. Dina Churchill of Halifax, Canada, to pay the Nova Scotia College of Chiropractors for, quote, professional misconduct after she shared her personal views that vaccinations could be harmful. Let me tell you something. Yeah, everybody likes to talk about, you know, Copernicus and Galileo and the persecution of the church and that. Understand that it was the scientific community as much as it was the Catholic Church who came after them. Because the scientific community had a vested interest in a geocentric universe. As a matter of fact, it wasn't until you had Kepler make the adjustments of elliptical orbits that the prediction of the movements of planets became more accurate than the old model of a geocentric universe. And so the Ptolemaic model was one that they did not want to give up for various reasons. The scientific community fought very hard against that. They always do fight for the conventional wisdom. And all of the scientific breakthroughs that happen because people question it. Now, just because you question it doesn't mean that you're right, but you have to have the ability to question. Or we don't have any science. We don't have any freedom. We no longer have any rights as human beings if we have no rights of free speech. That's why it was the First Amendment in the Constitution, protecting that from government encroachment.
I'm racist.
Welcome back fact, let's get into the meat of actually what happened, the details of what happened, as laid out in the Infowars.com story by Don Salazar. You saw it up on the Drudge Report over the weekend. What happened in Canada? It was the Nova Scotia College of Chiropractors. So they don't like this chiropractor's personal views that vaccinations could be harmful. They said Dr. Churchill's conduct brought the profession of chiropractic into disrepute. Well, I think if we look at what's going on with vaccines, the people that get into disrepute are big pharmaceutical companies and the doctors who make themselves unquestioning shills for them. And we're seeing that now with the opioid epidemic. Some of these doctors might wish that they had questioned what the pharmaceutical reps were telling them about opioids. And someday they're going to wish that they questioned what the big pharmaceutical companies are telling them about vaccines, especially since they don't have any liability for anything that they do with vaccines. Again, it goes beyond the actual formulation of the vaccine or whether there was anything harmful put in it as a preservative or anything harmful put in it to irritate your immune system. You know, they put in things to irritate your immune system. They call them adjuvants. Mercury was one of those. They'd put that in to antagonize your immune system. Many people believe that that is what causes the autoimmune reactions or various other things that happen because of those adjuvants. But even if you don't question that, even if you don't question the preservatives, you don't question the adjuvants, do you question whether or not they were properly manufactured? You know, we've got almost all of our drugs now being manufactured in China, 80 to 90%, depending on the different drugs. One of the drugs that I was prescribed after my heart attack was a drug that the chief problem with it is the fact that it is not pure because it's being manufactured, so much of it's being manufactured in China, and they have a lot of contamination issues with that particular drug being made in China. It isn't even a question as to whether or not the drug itself was safe. It's a question of how it was manufactured. But of course, if you're a vaccine manufacturer, you don't face any liability for that. In China, they've had multiple cases, situations where they've had children that are severely injured or killed because of contaminants in the vaccines. They take to the streets and riot there. Not in America. The corporate media and the social media make sure you don't even know anything about that. And then you have these associations. Who, because they don't want to be criticized, perhaps, the chiropractors, you know, they typically don't prescribe drugs. And they take a lot of heat from the AMA and these medical professions because, oh, you're not real doctors because you don't prescribe real drugs. Well, you know, maybe they're better doctors than the ones who just go down the checklist of the big pharmaceutical companies. Let's see. What does Merck say I should give you for this? What does Pfizer say I should give you for this? Oh, okay, well, there you go. And of course, that's a safe thing to do because you're never going to get in trouble with the AMA. You're never going to get in trouble with the FDA or any of these other. You've got the FDA covering for you, right? If this drug that you give somebody causes them to have horrific side effects, you can say, well, yeah, you know, look inside the insert, which they tell you not to read for vaccines. Anyway, the committee noted that Dr. Churchill refused to bend to pressure, maintaining her personal views are her personal views. Oh, see, their views are unquestionable science. Anybody else's are just opinions. Okay. The entire matter could have been avoided if Dr. Churchill deleted offending posts from her social media account. She refused. So now she must bow because she did not self-censor. They're going to fine her $100,000. See, some of us are not going to be gagged. We're not going to self-censor because of your bullying and your intimidation. We saw that with James Woods. He put up a quote. I think it was from a philosopher. It wasn't even his quote. Just put it up. Oh, you're going to have to take that off. Sorry. We say you got that. Well, I'm not going to do it. I'll just quit Twitter. One of the biggest people on Twitter. Joe Biggs, same thing. He put up something saying, look at this. This person who works for Twitter brags about their affiliation with Antifa and this violent organization that attacked Andy Ngo, the reporter who was just standing there filming. They attacked him and continued to attack him. sucker punching him. He had to go to the hospital. When you talk about these people and you say, well, we've got to take people off because they're bullying, and yet you leave this group up, this group has never been affected on Twitter. They're allowed to remain there, allowed to remain on Facebook. But if Joe Biggs points out that maybe this is because somebody that works at Twitter openly brags about her association with Antifa, they take him down and say, well, you're going to have to remove that post. No, I'm not going to do it either. And this doctor would not do it. They said, well, you know, we'll give you, we're nice guys. See, we're going to show you how nice we are. Even though we fine you $100,000, we're going to let you pay that over 10 years. But you're going to have to pay at least $30,000 by January the 2nd, 2022. Or we'll make the whole amount due right there. She went on to say, my sincere hope is that my example will awaken more of the public to the control and the manipulation of the medical industrial complex. Yep. That's my opinion, too. I share that opinion with her. The article is perfectly correct in that I have no remorse and I would do it all over again if I had the opportunity. And then she put an uppercase, vaccines are dangerous. And then said, educated people know this if they study the research. Anti, you know, we're all labeled as anti-vax, the anti-vaxxers. She said, anti is a word used to divide the population. I'd encourage you to be vaccine informed. Be vaccine informed. Silencing doctors in any discipline is against the Charter of Rights and Freedoms. And to silence us when we're trying to relate dangers to the public based on research is criminal. You know, it just came out from the CDC itself, one of the biggest resellers of vaccines. The CDC admitted that this last year's flu vaccine failed 91% of the time. While at the same time, you got the FDA exerting its authority into areas that it has never covered before. Surgical procedures, things called biologics, using your own stem cells. They've entered into these areas that they have never, never said that they had any regulatory capacity before. Why? Because these things are 90% effective. The vaccine, the flu vaccine, the CDC admitted was 91% ineffective. Exactly the opposite. And yet, what do you see being pushed everywhere? They practically give it away with a fill-up. You know, you buy some gas and get a free flu vaccine right here. Yeah, the filling station attendant will give it to you. They don't change your oil any, check your oil anymore, but they'll stick a needle in your arm probably before too much longer. It's gotten about that bad. Pretty much everybody's doing flu vaccines. This year's flu vaccine failed miserably, according to the CDC. ABC 7 reports the agency rated its effectiveness at only 9%. And the overall effectiveness for the entire season at 29%. Vaccines against the most infectious diseases are not considered successful unless they are at least 90% effective. And they're not even one-tenth that. How about that? How about that? When we come back, we're going to take a look at some more health issues. We're going to get into what's going on with the Democrat asylum. Yes, they're getting ready. They're building up to have another debate. We're going to tell you who's going to get kicked out and who isn't. And some amazing revelations about Marianne Williamson.
The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. We have a chiropractor in Canada, has been fined by a chiropractic association $100,000. Why? Because she said, hey, you need to inform yourself about the safety of vaccines. You need to inform yourself about the efficacy of vaccines. Are they effective? Do they actually do anything? Well, the CDC says no, not the flu shot. They admit the flu shot was only 9% effective. 9% effective. They said, oh, it's got to be at least 90% according to our herd mentality. Herd immunity numbers, right? As reported earlier this year by the Free Thought Project, of course, there's a Free Thought Project article here. Connecticut parents are told that they cannot prove their child was given the flu vaccine. They can't go to school. So here's something that's only 9% effective. Nobody is allowed to talk about any safety issues at all. But you get it. Even though it's not effective, even though many people have concerns about its safety. You got to get it or you're not going to go to school. You got to get it or you're not going to be allowed in public places. You can't go to work if you're a nurse or a doctor in many places if you don't get the flu shot. CDC has been telling the public for nearly a decade that there's more than 200,000 estimated hospitalizations and 36,000 estimated deaths from flu in the U.S. every year. But these estimates count a lot of people who are hospitalized, not just with flu, but also with pneumonia, respiratory, and circulatory illnesses. And they count that as probably associated with influenza. And I've talked about this as well. We even had, I had guests on, they showed you the notifications that were going out to physicians saying, if they've got flu-like symptoms, just call it the flu. We don't have the time to do an analysis, do a test. So don't send us anything from your patients and ask us to do a test. No, we just don't have the time to do that. So if it looks like the flu, it is the flu. If they got pneumonia, just call it the flu, right? Despite reassurance from government officials, the flu vaccine has been documented to cause harm. Back in December, Shane Morgan, like millions of other Americans, writes the Free Thought Project, was vaccinated against the flu virus in November. Within 36 hours of receiving the shot, he began experiencing symptoms of the flu. About 36 hours after he got the flu shot, he started to get sick, said his wife. After staying in bed for a week in his house, he did not improve. In fact, things got far worse, and he had to be admitted to the emergency room intensive care unit. He spent the next 3 weeks in the ICU, blinded and paralyzed. He is now home with his family, but he's not back to normal. He is still partially blind and in a wheelchair. On June 30th, 2015, California Governor Jerry Brown, however, signed a bill that effectively strips any personal or religious belief exemptions for parents who choose not to vaccinate their children. And just look at what's happened in New York. In 2017, this law in California came to a head when police officers detained a mother to make sure she had vaccinated her son. Portia Rashid was simply walking her six-year-old son to the bus stop when he was approached by a Claremont police officer and a representative of the school district and harassed in an attempt to find out the vaccination status of her child. They demanded, just like you see in all of these World War II movies about Nazi-occupied France, "Your papers, please. Give me your papers." Right? That's what they did to her. She's walking her child to the bus stop. "Show me your vaccination papers, please. I'm not going to allow you in the public square." Oh, your speech, your physical presence banned out of the public square again. And again, this is why. For the profits of private corporations. I mean, if they can ban our speech out of the digital public square, they can ban our bodies out there if we don't take the drugs that the big pharmaceutical companies have, you know, because they're big. They're obviously good, right? They succeeded where others failed. Don't pay any attention to the fact that they were helped, aided, abetted by a corrupt government in Washington, just like these social media companies. And she said, I want to know. They said, I want to know, do you have your vaccine records or not? Because she took exception to that. And then she wanted to know who they were and what authority they had to ask her that kind of a question. And eventually they backed down. A lot of people don't, however. And this is something that is continuing to metastasize. And so when you see these stories about dogs are getting a cancer vaccine, if this works, humans could be next. And you better bet that they're going to force you to give that to your kids. You would be an irresponsible parent if you didn't give your kids the vaccine that big pharmaceutical companies say is going to cure cancer, right? Well, maybe, as I've reported multiple times and as other people have reported, we've had a lot of people cover it from Daily Mail to NPR. People have been cured, they believe, and so does the Mayo Clinic researcher, believes that his rats were cured by worming medication. They had rats that they'd given cancer, and then one group of rats got worms. So he gave them worming medication, and all those rats were cured. I've talked about the blog of the individual who was getting cancer treatment at MD Anderson. They spent $1.2 million on conventional chemotherapy and other things like that. Everybody else in the study died. He was even in an experimental program in addition to that. It had come back. They'd given him a couple months to live. Within 1.5 months of starting to take this worming medication, he was cured. So instead of testing vaccines, giving dogs cancer, and testing their vaccine on these dogs, just take the worming medication from the dogs. That's really what you need to do. But they're not going to talk about that. As a matter of fact, they think so little of us that the same Indiana Attorney General, he's the Indiana Solicitor General, that's his title there. His name is Thomas Fisher out of Indiana. And he was laughed at the U.S. Supreme Court because when he was going there, they were trying to seize a vehicle under civil asset forfeiture. Again, as I've said many times, they claim that under the war on drugs, this is where this began, this particular lie, this legal fiction that is more bizarre, or at least as bizarre as anything you're ever going to hear from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, maybe even more bizarre. But this idea that you don't commit crimes, your inanimate objects commit crime. And so they can seize that inanimate object and do with it whatever they wish. They call it civil forfeiture. They pretend this is not a crime we're accusing you of, because we're not even accusing you. We're not finding you guilty. We're not even accusing you. We're accusing your car. And of course, a car doesn't have any rights. Neither does your home or your business or your plane or whatever, right? Your boat, anything, anything that they want. They just use this legal fiction to steal it. And we're like the village idiots in a Monty Python movie.
My car committed a crime? The U.S. government versus, you know, Toyota Corolla? Okay. Gee, that's hard.
In fact, Indiana Solicitor General Thomas Fisher argued in the Indiana Supreme Court just last week, after he was laughed at the U.S. Supreme Court, he argued that, yes, we could take your car if you're caught speeding. Take your car. They said there's no protection against excessive fines, right? Because you don't even have due process. You don't have presumption of innocence. You don't have a trial. They don't charge you. You don't have a jury. None of that applies because they say it's not criminal, it's civil. And they call it forfeiture instead of calling it theft, which is what it is. So they laughed at him at the Supreme Court. They had asked him, they said, could you take a car if somebody's going 5 miles over the speed limit? And he brings that argument up again when he goes back to the Indiana Supreme Court. He said, this is a position we've already staked out in the Supreme Court. When I was asked by Justice Breyer whether a Bugatti can be forfeited, because Bugatti, that's a couple million dollar car, right? Could you take, call it forfeit, and call it steal? Remember, it's very important. The language is very important. Don't call it stealing, call it forfeiting. Could a Bugatti be forfeited for going 5 miles over the speed limit? He said, historically, the answer to that question is yes, and we're sticking to that question, that position here. He's not backing down. The same position that he took with the U.S. Supreme Court, the same one he's taking here. And I'm telling you, first they came for your inanimate objects. Then they came for your children without due process. Now they're coming for the very cells of your body, your stem cells. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Moment. I want to talk about that in light of the Fox anchor who, in a tearful announcement, talked about how he is donating a part of his liver. I think that's a lesson for us all. We're going to ask some questions. Why is he allowed to do this? Did he get permission from the FDA? Should he be arrested once they remove his liver? Should that be impounded by a judge and destroyed? Because that's what they've done to my family. And I'm going to tell you about that when we come back. And nobody's talking about that. Why? Because it isn't a problem for big pharmaceutical companies if you have a liver donation, because you may need to have some of their drugs to control the rejection. But if you're using your own stem cells, you're not even going to need their drugs to control any possible rejection issues. So it's all about the money, folks. It's all about the money. And it's about the people that they control in the media. We will not be controlled by them, as a matter of fact. It's one of the reasons why we're here. It's one of the reasons why you have supported us in the past, also because of products that we sell. And we try to make it very easy for you to get the best quality vitamins, supplements, things that are natural, safe, and effective. And you can now get them as part of our special 4th of July sale. 50% off all InfoWars Life products, free shipping, double Patriot points, and more. We've also got a new T-shirt that you're going to like. This one is about the Betsy Ross 1776 T-shirt. We got four different styles, and we only made 4,000 of them, so it's a limited edition. Get your commemorative shirt and support the InfoWar today. So don't forget, again, 50% off all InfoWars Life products. You can get stickers that fight censorship, as well as the 8-pack power stack, also 50% off with a free Ultra 12. That's our reformulated. It's got twice as much vitamin B12 as the previous product, Secret 12. So you can get that for free when you buy an 8-pack power stack at 50% off. So don't forget to take a look at all the T-shirts, supplements, and other things that we have at InfoWarsStore.com. We really do need and appreciate your support. As I said earlier in the program, we had Leo Zagami here last week. And he's now been banned by Instagram for posting a single picture of Alex Jones. Isn't that amazing? Think about that. Think about what is now being foisted upon us by these giant corporations. Would it be okay if a corporation were to say, we're going to take all the property that belongs to, pick somebody, me or Alex Jones or whatever, you know? I don't like Alex Jones. So I'm going to steal his home, I'm going to steal his house, I'm going to steal his business. Well, that's essentially what they're doing, right? Stealing his business, stealing his voice, stealing his face. Anytime he puts his face anywhere, anybody puts up a... Zuckerberg has said he's going to delete that person. How do they get away with this? When we're talking about the 4th of July... I am just absolutely stunned that there's nobody, including the president, who gets it, that we are not the property of big corporations. They are the property of big corporations, not you and I. It's those disgusting sycophants in Congress who won't do anything about it. They're the ones who are bought and sold by the corporations who are now enslaving the rest of us. We created a government. It's what the Declaration of Independence that we celebrated this last week. We created the government to protect our rights. And that means that you protect people's rights in the public square. We used to even have a Supreme Court decision about that. Evidently, people just ignore it now. You know, we had 1946, the Supreme Court said you can't throw somebody out of the public square, even if the public square is owned by a corporation, as it was in that one particular company town. And now we've allowed these companies, like Twitter, like Facebook, to say, well, yeah, it's the public square. That's our business model. That's our business model. It isn't like a mall, you know, where somebody comes in and starts doing things that are going to distract from businesses there. I mean, their business model in a mall is a retail space. It is not a public square. But the public square is a public square. And if you say that your business model is a public square, if you were funded by DARPA and CIA venture capital money to set up a public square, and then you start purging people after you get that public square, you establish that public square as a place everybody wants to go by offering free stuff, then you say, well, now I'm going to pull out the people that are critical of the government or people that are critical of big corporations. And then the government allows that to happen? I mean, we're still looking. We've got occasionally we'll have these show hearings from Republicans in Congress or from President Trump. Say, well, let me look and see if there's something going on here in social media. I've heard that maybe there's something going on. Are you kidding me? At this point, we don't need any more investigation. We need some action, just like we need action at the border. But here's what Leo Zagami said. He says, I wasn't very active on Instagram, but I decided to post a picture of Alex Jones and myself today wearing an InfoWars shirt after my recent visit to InfoWars headquarters in Austin. In my case, there still remain several fake profiles that are made by Nigerian scammers who pretend to be me, and they're asking for money to join an organization that claims to be the infamous Illuminati, but they call it the Illuminatium. They're still allowed to post pictures. They're still allowed to do whatever they want. You know, in the same way that, and let me just interject here, and to what Leo is saying. The same way that people that they don't like, if they don't like your speech, if it's not politically correct, they say you're bullying people with your speech and they purge you out of the digital public square. But if you've got people that are physically, not only verbally bullying people on media, but if they're physically attacking people, these organizations are allowed to remain on Twitter and Facebook. So he goes, so these people who are claiming to be me and are not me are allowed to make money by infringing on my copyright and the copyright of InfoWars.com. For this reason, I've decided to move a lawsuit against Instagram for repeated violation of federal laws by Zuckerberg's Instagram. The Nigerian scammers are profiting off of gullible people, and they're allowed by Instagram and by Mark Zuckerberg. No problem. And, of course, it's the government that wants all this. The government invites all this. All these governments, including our own, demanding that any content that they object to be taken down, but taken down very, very quickly. You're not doing it fast enough. I want this done within the next number of hours, and we just passed a law to make you do it quicker. Yeah. When I say jump, you ask how high, and you do it right away. When we look at the amazing hypocrisy of these organizations. Just look at what is being talked about by the police chief in Portland, whose name, by the way, I never noticed that her name was Outlaw. The police chief in Portland is named Outlaw. No wonder she defends Antifa. Can you believe that? Chief Outlaw? She is the chief outlaw. She is saying, well, maybe now what we need to do is have anti-mask laws to curb violence at the protests, you know, because we can't do anything. We're going to step on the sidelines, right? Maybe if we prohibit masks, then maybe these people will obey that law. Since they don't pay any attention to the laws against assault and battery, maybe they'll pay attention to the laws against masks, and we're not going to do anything, unlike the police in D.C. Saw them cold cock some of these little, you know, pencil neck Antifa geeks with their black helmets. One guy trying to run through a police line, he just got knocked to the ground. Anyway, you've probably seen that on social media. She said, we cannot allow people to continue to use the guise of free speech to commit a crime. It's like, wait a minute. What is free speech about hitting people on the back of the head with sticks and pipes? That's not free speech. If you're a police officer, the mask is irrelevant. I mean, it might give you a clue. If a mob of people, especially given their past history, are going down the street with weapons and masks, that might give you a clue that they're up to something, but not the Portland police. Well, let's get rid of the mask. That should change everything. 15 states and some countries have anti-mask laws. Meanwhile, the opponents, like the people in Portland, argue that such laws would deprive people of anonymity to express their views. Why do they need anonymity? They need it because they're violating the law. They need it because they are violent. That's why they need anonymity. They don't need anonymity for their speech. As a matter of fact, again, taking a look at how this is a picture of what the big social media companies are doing to independent media and to you, your speech. It's not just the free press. It's your free speech as well. The kind of physical bullying that was happening in Portland is a physical expression of the violence and the bullying that's being done by big corporations. And of course, they don't give any anonymity to anybody. They claim that they can take you down for activity that you do outside of their platform, or take you down because they don't like somebody, because they want to deperson somebody, just as they took down Leo Zagami's Instagram because he put up a picture of himself with Alex Jones. Oh, that violated our guidelines because we've depersoned Alex Jones. We'll be right back.
Defending the American dream. It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. You know, we had on Friday, actually Saturday, Joe Biden became only the third Democrat candidate to speak out against the violent attacks on Andy Ngo in Portland, Oregon, the journalist. For Colette, who is there reporting, and you've all seen that picture many, many times. I don't need to explain what happened there. The first one to come out against it was Eric Swalwell. He condemned the attack. He called on Congress to pass a, quote, Journalist Protection Act. I'm sorry, but you know what? I'm a journalist. I don't think I'm the only one who deserves protection against violence when I'm exercising my free speech. You have a right to use your free speech as well in the public square. And that includes a digital public square as well. Now, Eric Swalwell loves credentials. He loves turning basic fundamental rights into privileges. And I say to you that if the government can't protect us in the public square against violence, if it refuses to do that, as we've seen in the case of the Portland police, that is an illegitimate government. And they have sided with that violence in their inactivity. We don't need to have credentials. We don't need to have some government agency recognize us as a professional journalist to have free speech in public places. Yes, it's wrong to attack a journalist. It's equally wrong to attack somebody who's just standing there with a MAGA cap on their hat, which is what we saw 4th of July in Washington. People who just had MAGA hats on, all of a sudden getting blindsided by these Antifa thugs. That's speech. When you wear a hat, that is speech. It is protected speech. But the government doesn't protect our rights anymore, not even on the Declaration of Independence, where the document itself, it's the anniversary of that on July 4th, the document itself said, we create government to secure and to protect our rights. And when the government refuses to do that, when the government becomes a partner with Antifa or with Twitter or with Facebook or Instagram or Google, when it becomes a partner with corporations to take away your basic freedoms, that government is no longer legitimate. The day prior to this, Andrew Yang, so you had Eric Swalwell earlier in the week, came out and said, well, yeah, we need to be able to protect professional journalists. No, anybody, Eric, anybody. You know, we don't need your permission to own a gun, Eric Swalwell. We don't need your permission to speak in the public square. And we don't need your permission to be a journalist. But it's not just journalists who have free speech protection. Everybody should have it. And they should have it in the digital public square as well. The day prior, Andrew Yang had expressed concern about the violent incident. He said, journalists should be safe to report on a protest without being targeted. He said, it's pretty amazing. Andy Ngo told the Washington Post, he said, I haven't heard from the Portland mayor any regrets. I haven't heard from local politicians any regrets, not from the police chief, chief outlaw. their muted response, said Andy Ngo, has been deafening. I thank Yang, Swalwell, and Ted Cruz for their public support. But, you know, pretty much the rest of it, forget about it. People don't really care. They don't care when you've got thugs using violence. But, of course, you know, everybody's being purged off of Twitter. If you have some kind of a microaggression, they say you're a bully and you're gone. But not Antifa, not the people who are actually doing violence. One person who used to be with Antifa wrote an op-ed piece for Fox News. His name is Gabriel Nadales. He used to be with the group back in 2010 when he was in high school. But he said he walked away from them over 7 years ago. He said he, too, had participated in the terror group's violent protests. And let's understand, this is a terror group. Textbook legal definition. When you use violence or the threat of violence and force as a means to achieve political goals, what is Antifa doing? They are technically, legally, as the definition goes, they are a terrorist organization. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. I want to return to the health issues. Got away from it at the top of the hour because we had a short segment. And I wanted to talk about Fox News host Ed Henry. He made a tearful announcement over the weekend. Yesterday, as a matter of fact, he said he'll be taking some time off to donate a portion of his liver to his sister, Colleen Henry. who's been battling a degenerative liver disease. He fought back tears as he made the announcement during the Sunday morning show. He is scheduled to undergo surgery Tuesday, tomorrow, to donate about a third of his liver to replace his sister's liver, which, due to a hereditary condition, is failing. Because the liver can regenerate, this means that if the transplant is successful, both the donor and the recipient could have a fully functioning liver within a matter of weeks. Isn't that interesting? The body's ability to heal, if not poisoned with drugs of various types. And he said, in my case, I desperately wanted to donate without reservations, but the doctors instructed me that I first had to lose 10 to 15 pounds to cleanse fat from my liver and get the medical clearance needed for surgery. He tweeted out, a love letter to my sis. I'm becoming a liver donor for the sister I love so she can live a long and healthy life. Well, I applaud him for doing that. And it's nice that the FDA is leaving him alone to allow him to do that. And why wouldn't they, right? Why wouldn't they, however, leave people alone to use their own stem cells? You know, he said he had to lose 10 to 15 pounds to cleanse fat from his liver. You know, you can take the fat from your body and a doctor can process that and create a cluster of stem cells, which can then be injected back into your body in places where you're having problems with arthritis or just systemically. People who have autism, they've had massive success. They've treated thousands of patients with that particular process. And yet the FDA has just extended its authority over these what's called biologics. And again, biologics are not drugs, right? Drugs are synthetic things. Biologics are things that people, that they take out, that they cultivate, and then put back in. And there's a whole class of biologics that are created by big pharmaceutical companies that the FDA's just pulled back and said, we're not going to do anything about that. But when you create a biologic from your own body and put it back into your own body, and it is 80 to 90% effective, not like the flu vaccine, which is 91% ineffective, according to CDC, and they're probably inflating those numbers. But when you got something that's 80 to 90% effective, and it's your own body, and you're not allowed to do it, and as a matter of fact, if you paid to have those stem cells banked, as my family has, now you've got the FDA coming in and a judge demanding that those be destroyed in 30 days. How criminal is that? Well, it's as criminal as the government coming in and confiscating your kids without due process. And before that, it was property. Cars, cash, houses. You see how that progresses? Just like Pastor Martin Niemöller said? We put it into today's terms in American society, the land of the free. Give me a break. I can't even participate in 4th of July ceremonies anymore. I'm so disgusted with this government. So they go from stealing property, and I didn't do anything because they weren't stealing my property, right? To stealing children. I didn't do anything because it wasn't my children they're being. And, you know, besides, those people whose property they were, they'd used drugs at one point in time. Or maybe they had a friend who used drugs and left a little bit of it behind in the car. And so, you know, maybe that's a, you know, I don't do any of that stuff. So I'm not going to defend those people. And I'm, you know, these people who had their kids stolen from them, you know, they might have been homeschooling or something weird like that. So I'm not going to defend them. And then somebody in your family comes down with a disease for which the big pharmaceutical companies don't have a cure, not even an expensive cure. And you can't use that, the natural, effective cure of your body. Why? Because you didn't stand up and do anything when this government treated us like slaves. So I'm glad that he's allowed to do that. I'm glad that he can help his sister to live a long and healthy life. But we've seen this kind of pattern for a very long time, haven't we? You talk about this doctor, again, this chiropractor, getting fined $100,000. Why? Because, well, we don't want to be embarrassed by this. You know, it's just, we don't want to be associated with somebody who says they don't like vaccines because we all know that that's not looked upon by the powers that be. That'll get the whole chiropractic association in trouble with the mainstream media, and it'll get them in trouble with the government and the big corporations that sell drugs, and we don't want that fight. So we'll come after her. We'll pick on her. Tell her to shut up. You can't say that. We'll show them. We'll show them how we are complete sycophants to the establishment, to the medical establishment. But just take a look at what's happening, for example, in the opioid crisis. Going back to August of 2017, Fortune magazine said, hey, there is a tidal wave. All of you people who are investing money in some of these corporations that have liability in opioids, you might want to read this article here on Fortune magazine, they said, right? Let's take a look at how this wave of lawsuits, a tidal wave of lawsuits relating to the opioid crisis, is going to be coming after various companies. It's not just Purdue Pharmaceutical, but it's also Johnson & Johnson. And so they were talking about this back in 2017. They said they were repeating what the Financial Times had just put out. Drug groups face a tidal wave of opioid lawsuits. The Financial Times, 2 years ago, said there are parallels to the $200 billion plus tobacco settlements. But of course, you know, Big Pharma is very different from Big Tobacco, right? Big Pharma would never sell you anything unsafe or ineffective. Maybe they would sell you something that is both unsafe and ineffective, like vaccines. And maybe that's why they demanded and got legal immunity from our captive, bought-off prostitutes in Washington, D.C., giving them legal immunity no matter what they do. They call it a vaccine. They have no liability, no lawsuit liability. According to a Financial Times analysis 2 years ago, at least 30 states, cities, and counties had either filed lawsuits or were formally recruiting lawyers to do so. And as one lawyer said, it is a tidal wave. If I were an executive, I would be asking how many more of these are there going to be? At every level of government, in almost every state, there is a potential plaintiff against the opioid epidemic. Now, we go back to April of last year. Next year, we come around, right? What was happening at that time? Well, the news at that point in time was that Kentucky was the latest state to sue Johnson & Johnson. Again, not just Purdue Pharmaceuticals. Johnson & Johnson had a couple of subsidiaries that were producing opioids. And the state of Kentucky last year sued Johnson & Johnson, two subsidiaries, accusing them of using deceptive marketing schemes to flood the state with opioid-based prescription painkillers. Now, would the pharmaceutical companies ever use deceptive marketing and intimidation to get you to buy a product for which they have absolutely no liability? The only product that they sell that has absolutely no liability? Vaccines? Of course they would. The representatives, they said, in this lawsuit filed by Kentucky, they alleged that the representatives of these subsidiaries of Johnson & Johnson told doctors and patients that these opioids are safe, that they were rarely addictive when used for chronic pain. At that time, a year ago, they had also been sued by the states of Arkansas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Missouri, New Mexico, Ohio, Oklahoma, and South Dakota. In Ohio, the attorney general there, a Republican, accused the subsidiary of Johnson & Johnson and other companies of, quote, borrowing a page from Big Tobacco's playbook, downplaying the risks of powerful drugs. Maybe they were actually borrowing a page from the vaccine playbook, downplaying the risks. And, of course, they all fall in line with that. Now we have Oklahoma joining that and saying, gee, this is kind of against the family-friendly image of Johnson & Johnson. You know, the people who sell baby powder? We'll be right back. Welcome back. I was just talking about the building lawsuits, about how the public has been deceived into taking opioids. As Rand Paul said after he was blindsided and attacked from behind, couldn't hear, even hear the guy coming because he was mowing his lawn. His neighbor hit him, you know, how much pain he was in, several broken ribs. And he was in incredible pain. And yet, when he was able to get back on the air, talk to a reporter at Fox, who was also a doctor. The two of them said, yeah, stay away from opioids. And Rand Paul said as much pain as he was in, he wasn't kind of about to go to that. And we've had many reports from many doctors saying over-the-counter medication is just as effective as opioids. And yet you have so many individuals who are tricked, who are deceived, who are lied to by doctors who just push these drugs on behalf of the big pharmaceutical companies. And it's not just the doctors who are doing it. It's also the FDA. I'll never forget in the Republican debates leading up to the 2016 elections, you had the tearful story told by Chris Christie of one of his friends from law school. So this guy was incredibly successful as a partner at a law firm. He was married and also, and then he injured his back, his jogging or something. He injured his back and the doctors gave him opioids and he got addicted to it. And he said it cost him everything. First, he lost his job with a law firm. He lost all of his money. He lost his family and eventually he committed suicide. And then Chris Christie, instead of calling for something to be done to the big pharmaceutical companies, immediately pivots to attacking marijuana. Marijuana. Medical marijuana. It's a complete non sequitur. And exactly the kind of pivot that we've seen from these people forever. So you have something like opioids, and you know they're allowed to do this for years and years and years until it creates a national crisis. And now you've got all these different states that are suing not just Purdue Pharmaceutical, but the subsidiaries of Johnson & Johnson. And The Guardian comes out last week as Oklahoma is the latest state to file a lawsuit against Johnson & Johnson. They said, it has jarred the family-friendly public image of Johnson & Johnson, the pharmaceutical giant best known for baby powder. Yeah, they're getting a reputation for baby powder as well. Talcum powder. Look it up. Talcum powder and cancer. They've already lost two cases so far on that. $127 million on those two cases combined that juries have found that they not only gave people talcum powder, knowing that it raised the risk of cancer, but they didn't warn anybody about it. They continued to sell it without any restrictions. But, of course, you can't sue for vaccines. You can't sue these big pharmaceutical companies for that. If they give you baby powder knowingly, you know, something as innocuous as that, and it is truly innocuous. It's not like they're sticking it in your arm or anything. But don't you dare say, I don't want you injecting me and mandating that I be injected with that. And that's the most amazing thing. It's not anything new. I mean, go back to the 1850s. Look at Frederick Bastiat, the law. He was writing at the tail end of the Reign of Terror in France as they were going full on into socialism. And he talked about what a perversion government could become, how it could, instead of protecting citizens, which is, again, the stated purpose in our Declaration of Independence that we just celebrated last week, instead of protecting people from predators, it goes the other way around. And it becomes the enabler for corporate predators, or it becomes the predator itself. Turns everything upside down, inside out. It inverts the whole process. As the state of Oklahoma's multi-billion dollar lawsuit against Johnson & Johnson has unfolded over the past month, the company has struggled to explain its marketing strategies that its accusers say dangerously misrepresented the risk of opioid addiction to doctors, that manipulated medical research, that helped to drive an epidemic that has claimed 400,000 lives over the past two decades. Isn't that interesting? They don't have any explanation for that. No explanation at all. Now, of course, we go back and look at the Gardasil situation, right? The HPV vaccine, they wanted to mandate that as a condition. It's the first time that we ever had vaccines mandated as a condition of going to school, which is what they're doing now all the time, whether it's measles, MMR, or whether it's flu, you got to take that vaccine, you're not going to go. Well, we had this fight already in Texas with Gardasil. And just to remind you, going back 5, 6, 7 years ago, when you had Rick Perry trying to do that here in Texas as governor, and of course, it was a program that was started by one of his staffers who used to work for a pharmaceutical company. That's that revolving door. Exactly what we're seeing with the FDA now as they crack down on stem cells, as they have historically cracked down on the use of CBD and of medical marijuana. And so if we remember what happened a few years ago, and it is still happening with HPV, continues to be seen as a life-saving vaccine, but there is no evidence that the HPV vaccination is reducing the incidence of cervical cancer. Reports of adverse effects now total more than 85,000 worldwide. Nearly 500 deaths are suspected of being linked to Gardasil or Gardasil 9. But it doesn't matter because you can't sue these. It's a vaccine, right? So they got complete legal immunity. It doesn't matter that it has absolutely done nothing to reduce cervical cancer. And it doesn't matter that they now have 85,000 cases worldwide. They're going to continue to push it. Merck is. As ABC News pointed out, they said Emily Tarsell, a mom whose daughter died 18 days after receiving the last of three Gardasil shots, is angry. It is amazing how successful Merck was at pushing the right buttons to get normally rational and intelligent people to fall for their propaganda. Again, vaccines. Whether it's Gardasil and HPV, or whether it's the CDC pushing their worthless flu vaccines. No, don't question what they have to say. And they have very effective propaganda. She said, in my case, I am normally suspect of any new drug, and I know to wait a few years to see how it plays out. But in this case, I suppressed that instinct because they pushed the cancer button. Yeah, they're going to be coming up with a cancer vaccine. You keep hearing them talk about this. And why not? Why wouldn't you have some kind of a medical treatment for everything for which you could never be sued? Even if you don't manufacture it properly, you can't be sued. The vaccine for Gardasil, the vaccine for HPV, has been linked to 32 unconfirmed deaths and shows higher incidence of fainting and blood clots than other vaccines. ABC News talked about this last year. They said they would encourage parents to learn more about the shot before getting their daughters vaccinated. I'm very much in favor of childhood vaccines. Gotta always say that. Oh, I love vaccines. But you might want to read the insert. Yeah, please do read the insert. It's a tragic story. I'm not going to go into it. But when they talk about the fact that there is an average of 54 vaccine injuries per 100,000 doses, and you take a look at this, we're talking about a vast number of people who are affected by this, and we're out of time. We'll be right back.
Move me on to any black square. Use me any time you want. Just remember that the goal is for us all to capture all we want.
Liberty. It's your move. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. I want to tie it together, this data about vaccine injuries and the number of cases that they reported for measles. Because, you know, measles is now the center of people being banned from the public square, children being banned from school. You have parents at risk of having their children taken away from them because they choose not to do all the vaccines in clusters, even. Even people who don't have any problem with vaccines say, yeah, but I don't want to do all that at once. No, you're going to do exactly what we say, when we say, and the quantity that we say, because you are nothing but a slave. Well, they pointed out that when you look at Gardasil, let's just compare the risk of taking Gardasil. They admit it hasn't really been any effective. They haven't had any efficacy there. You've had 85,000 people injured. But just take a look, because they do this per 100,000 doses. They say that per 100,000 doses, they have an average of 54 injury reports with the secretive vaccine adverse event reporting system. That's the, you know, you can report it there. Good luck with that. Maybe you can go and have go to the secret vaccine court and get the special master there to arbitrate over that process. Maybe they'll give you some money after years and years of litigation, but of course you don't have a jury trial because they don't want jury trials handing out millions of dollars to these awards because it bankrupt the pharmaceutical company, so they have legal immunity. But when you look at the people who collect these statistics, per 100,000 vaccine doses of Gardasil, 54 injury reports. 40% of those occurred on the day of the vaccination. Another 6.2% were serious, including 32 reports of death. Now, the BBC and media worldwide are freaking out about a so-called measles epidemic. Even in Omaha, they're talking about how they got measles detectives working to contain an outbreak. In New York City, has spent more than $2.3 million to investigate measles. They found 566 cases. Nobody died. Nobody died. Nobody was seriously injured. In Los Angeles, they're spending $2,000 to track down each contact of a confirmed measles patient. And they've made hundreds of such efforts in recent months. So we're spending hundreds of thousands of dollars in L.A. We're spending millions of dollars in New York. We're having authoritarian bands of people in public square and in public schools, public transportation, and so forth. For what? You got the BBC coming out and saying the medical student who died of measles, this is something they pushed about a week ago. And they have a very long article trying to make the case for how dangerous measles is going to Ukraine. They said they've had more than 100,000 cases there since 2017. And they claim that there are 39 deaths. Now, even if that were true, compare that to the number of people who have died from Gardasil, 32 per 100,000. And here they're saying people who got measles naturally, they're saying in the Ukraine, 39. So all this panic about measles, maybe we should be hunting down all the Gardasil shots and getting rid of them since they're as dangerous as measles in the wild to people. And measles would not be that dangerous if people had contracted it when they were younger. It's the vaccine that has exacerbated that. But in this particular case, again, we talked about the statistics on flu and how the CDC inflates that. Anybody that has flu-like symptoms, you got a fever, you got pneumonia, what? Well, don't send us the strain. We don't have the time to test it to see if it's actually the flu. Just call it the flu, and we'll count that. We'll assume that. And I've shown you the documents. I've had people come on to talk about that. And so what happened with this guy that they focus on, the medical student who got measles and died? He died of pneumonia. Pneumonia. Now, they say that was brought on by measles after several days in intensive care. And yet, how many times do we see people dying of pneumonia in a hospital for any kind of disease? Hospitals are very dangerous places. That's why in German, they call them the Krankenhaus, the sick house. But take a look at the other side of this. Okay, so we see the big pharmaceutical companies getting away, pushing drugs. One of the biggest drug scandals anywhere, the opioid epidemic. They're allowed to push that for years. The FDA signs off on it. All the big cable news companies sign off on it. And at the same time, they were locking up people who used cannabis. And now we have a study coming out of the University of Saskatchewan in Canada. It's funded by the Jim Pattison Children's Hospital Foundation. They monitored seven children suffering from severe pediatric epilepsy. They were having, amongst them, up to 1,200 seizures a month. That's common for each of these kids once they have this particular type of disease. Now, we've known about this for a long time. As a matter of fact, State Representative Simpson out of Longview, Texas, was able to get an exemption for this particular case after talking to parents who were facing jail terms because the pharmaceutical drugs were very dangerous, very expensive. They didn't work either. And they found that cannabis could stop these uncontrollable seizures. And he said, this is criminal. As a matter of fact, he also introduced legislation just to take any mention of marijuana out of the criminal code completely here in Texas. That, of course, did not pass. But he was able to get an exemption for epileptic situations. And it's again, here in Texas, we don't even recognize medical marijuana, but they were able to get that. That's very well known. But now they've had an official study. Why'd they do it now? For no reason other than the money. As I said before, you got people like John Boehner who said, I'm unalterably opposed to any legalization of marijuana for any purpose whatsoever. But now he is out there as one of the biggest pushers of it. Why? Because he can make money. The same reason they pushed opioids. Same reason they push all this stuff. They don't care if it's safe. They don't care if it's effective. They just want to make money out of it. Now, some of these are safe and effective. What they're talking about with this, they said the overall reduction in seizures was close to 75%. Three of the seven children stopped having seizures altogether. And remember, they were having about 1,200 seizures a month amongst the group. But when we look at a situation like stem cells, your own stem cells, the FDA has never claimed that they had jurisdiction over surgical procedures. They've never claimed that they had jurisdiction over medical devices. They never claimed that they had jurisdiction over biologics, biological substances. They've never claimed that people like Joe Biden couldn't relocate hair from the back of his head to the top of his head in a hair transplant. That's his own hair follicles. If you go with their regulations prohibiting stem cells here in the United States, taken from your own fat cells, that's the same in principle as prohibiting Joe Biden from getting a hair transplant. Except this cures very, very dangerous diseases, and it has a higher than 75% rate on many, many diseases for which pharmaceutical companies are racing to try to get something out there that can make a rough claim so they can charge millions and billions of dollars to people when it doesn't really work. And some of these biologics that they put out there for some of these situations like rheumatoid arthritis, they give you cancer as a side effect. It's kind of a gateway drug, isn't it? Yeah, think of it that way. Some people may say that the cannabis is not perfect for these treatments, that it's not 100%, but you have to take into consideration these kids that have failed multiple anti-seizure medications and multiple treatments. And again, they said a major barrier to the study was the notion that the cannabis-based medicine would make the children intoxicated. It was 95% CBD, 5% THC. The THC is what gets you high. They said even though it had the 5% THC, even at the highest doses in this study, it was still not a factor. We were able to show in the study that the concerns about THC intoxication were not much of a concern. They said there's already FDA-approved treatments, and you have to try those here in Texas before they'll let you use the safe and effective stuff, the CBD. That's the way this all works. You know, you go to CBD, one of the most famous strands of CBD was created for a three-year-old girl. They call it Charlotte's Web because she had uncontrollable seizures. They created a CBD cannabinoid for her, and it was completely effective. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back. You know, as I've said many times, it's getting really hard to get out in front of reality and even do satire. Here's one right here. Mississippi's being sued for a ban on veggie burgers, saying that they're anything like meat or burgers. You can't say, even though you say veggie, you can't say that it's a burger, right? Plant-based food products shall not be labeled as meat or a meat food product. It doesn't matter if the product also states on the label that it's 100% vegan, plant-based, or meatless. Doesn't matter, right? It's not intended to clear up any confusion, so what's the point? Well, it's nothing but protectionism, writes Reason Magazine. The Institute of Justice attorney who has filed a lawsuit against this law said context matters. Under the First Amendment, businesses should be able to use almost any word that they want, as long as consumers understand what they are saying. People know that vegan burgers do not come from cows. That's why they're called vegan. But you can't call it a vegan burger, according to them. Why? Because they're protecting a business interest. They don't want competition. I'm not interested in vegan burgers. I mean, I'd still buy the real stuff. But people have a right to say that. But see, that is the essence. If you want to sweep aside all this stuff that's going on with vaccines, with measles, with stem cells, it boils down to this story about this. Where's the beef? Well, it's in the money, right? And I have a beef with this, quite frankly. I have a beef with these kinds of controls. Saying what you can and cannot say, what you can and cannot sell, that you don't have any right to be informed, you don't have the ability to make a choice. All these people out there who say, you know, my body, my choice, they don't mean that. talking about women's health care. They don't mean that. They're not standing up for women's health care. Not at all. These people are just fine to let these corporations do whatever they want. As a matter of fact, they're always the ones who are cheering big corporations stealing your human rights of free speech. And it's amazing to me because it's all these hypocrites in the Democrat Party who say that, businesses can do nothing right. Well, you know, a free market, a business operates in terms of persuading people, not coercing people. But when you have crony capitalism, when you have fascism like we see now in the pharmaceutical industry and with the FDA, because, I mean, we're talking about food and drugs, right? So there's, you know, it's right there. What you eat, what you put in your body, oh, no, we're not going to allow you to make your own choice. Can't have that there. We're going to treat you like ignorant slaves, and perhaps they're right because we don't rise up, even on the 4th of July, to demand that we be treated as human beings who have inalienable rights, who have dignity, who are creatures of God made in his image, and we have the right to make these decisions. Instead, the government becomes a tool of oppression in the hands of these big corporations that own and control them, from free speech to free medicine and everything in between. Finally, in Florida, after one local jurisdiction decided that they were going to outlaw growing your own vegetables at home. So you can't do that either. Can't use your own stem cells to heal your body. 80 to 90% effective on diseases that pharmaceutical drugs don't have any effect on. You know, they don't regulate the biologics that are sold for rheumatoid arthritis, for example, that cost $10,000 a month. No, it's a biologic. We're not going to regulate that. But if you want to take your own stem cells out of your fat and use it again, that is a biologic, but we will prohibit that. Prohibit it. And here, growing veggies at home. They had to go to the state in order to shut down a one particular jurisdiction, Miami Shores. They implemented a ban on garden vegetables at home back in 2013. These people had to fight them for 6 years. Finally, the Florida State Legislature passed a bill that would allow you to grow vegetable gardens in your own home, on your own property. See, they don't think it's your property. Why would they think it's your property? I mean, this is a local jurisdiction. They're the ones who tax you on your property. You don't ever own it. It's a perpetual tax. So why would they think that you've got any, you know, since you don't ever own it and you're merely renting it from that local jurisdiction, why would they not feel like they could tell you what you can and can't do on your property? That's the reality of where we are today. Again, we're talking about CBD. We've now got Illinois, after all of these years of prohibition. Think about it. The UN war on drugs, which violated the Constitution in a way, just a complete effrontery to the Constitution. As I said before, alcohol prohibition, they passed the 18th Amendment. Why? Because the 9th and 10th Amendment said they didn't have the power if it wasn't expressly granted to them. So they had to pass an amendment saying they could prohibit alcohol. They repealed that with the 21st Amendment. But when it came time to implement the UN war on drugs that was put together in 1961, Richard Nixon said, well, this is my war on drugs, and I don't care about the Constitution. It's not illegal if the president does it, right? So he just does whatever he wants. And now for 40 years, we've seen that not only hasn't it not helped the drug situation, it's actually made it worse, and it's also created massive drug cartels. It's created a physical war in Mexico, where more people are dying there than in Iraq and Afghanistan on a yearly basis. That violence is now spilling over into our border. It's corrupted our police. It's corrupted our courts. It has filled up our prisons to the extent that we go out and we hire private corporations to build more prisons, and we release violent offenders. The only good news out of all this is that individual states and other jurisdictions, sheriffs began doing this in some locations. Then we had state referenda by the people. We had state legislatures coming out and saying, no, we're not going to let you lock people up for marijuana. And that was 80% of the war on drugs, marijuana possession. And they would lock people up, mandatory minimums, regardless of your previous history. Some of those people have now been pardoned by President Trump. They've taken the first step to roll this back. But the first step, folks, and I agree with what President Trump did, and congratulations to him. And they've even had the people who hate President Trump, like Van Jones on CNN, applaud him for doing this. And hats off to Van Jones for doing the right thing. I mean, when somebody does the right thing, even if I don't like them or disagree with them politically, you ought to always encourage that. And so good for him for doing that. And I disagree with Van Jones on everything except that particular thing where he congratulated President Trump. But the important thing about this, as much as it showed us how the government will go around the Constitution, violate it at will, completely ignore it, and be given a free pass by the corporate media to conduct this war on drugs with all the bad side effects that it had. It also showed us, and this is the most important thing, that you can shut down this federal overreach peacefully by nullifying it at the state level. And now we see Illinois doing that at a state level. They have legalized marijuana. And they made cannabis legal in the state for individuals who are 21 years and older and over, along with sweeping criminal justice reforms designed to help those whose lives have been upended by the state's drug laws. In addition to legalizing marijuana, the bill also, and here's the right thing to do, and I haven't seen this in most of the states where they have done that, they also purge the criminal records of people who went to jail for nothing other than a marijuana offense. It'll take place in 2020, and they're going to automatically give clemency for convictions of up to 30 grams of cannabis. If you've got more than 30, you can petition the court to have the charges lifted. They will expunge it, which means that they will physically destroy the records or return them to the petitioner. I see in many of these states where they've decriminalized this or made it legal. That's the difference. You know, decriminalizing it, it's not, they can still hit you with a big fine. Making it legal, they don't even fine you for it. But in many of these cases, even after they make it legal, they still leave people in jail, or they still leave that on their record. Folks, if you want to help us here at InfoWarsStore.com, we really do need your help at this time. We have fought very hard to be independent, to try to tell you as honestly as we can the way that we see things, and that's the way I like to get my news. I like for people to tell me what's happening, give me their take on it, tell me why they think this is happening, what's going to come of it, that sort of thing. We try to do that truthfully and honestly, giving you the news, giving you our analysis. You make up your own mind. You're big boys and girls. We respect you, and we respect you for helping us. And you have been there with us, standing behind us, and you are our only sponsors. Take a look at the products that we have as part of our 4th of July sale. We have continued the 50% off and free shipping store-wide, double Patriot points, and we've also got a new Betsy Ross 1776 t-shirt. I'm going to tell you what you will not believe what these Nike Betsy Ross shoes are going for. But you can get a t-shirt, a commemorative t-shirt, and these are collector's items as well. There's only 4,000 of them, so get it while they last at InfoWarsStore.com. Don't forget, 50% off all InfoWars Life products, free shipping, and double the Patriot points, InfoWarsStore.com. We'll be right back. I'll tell you about Betsy Ross shoes.
Making sense common again. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
There's a famous quote by H.L. Mencken at the time of FDR. You know, FDR campaigned on getting rid of alcohol prohibition. Remember, happy days are here again. Everybody singing and dancing. Hey, we can legally buy alcohol again. But then FDR immediately prohibited the private holding of gold. So H.L. Mencken said, well, a year ago, if I had a flask of alcohol in my pocket and a gold coin in the other, the alcohol was illegal and the gold was legal. This year, the gold is illegal and the alcohol is legal. Because, you know, when you live under a government that doesn't recognize the Constitution or the Bill of Rights, they can do whatever they want. They arbitrarily prohibit one thing, bring the other one in. Which brings us to the hemp car. And we are rapidly approaching the point where the hemp will be legal and the car will be illegal. But take a look at this hemp car. Jay Leno was taking a look at it. It's a car that is made from hemp. It is stronger than steel. The body is. Let's run that clip there. Take a look at that. You got any audio on that, or is it just visual? There we go. There's Jay Leno banging on it.
I should start now.
The ultimate goal, Jay, is to introduce the world's first carbon negative vehicle. And the key to that is going back to what Henry Ford advocated back in 1941. And that's the idea of make everything you possibly can, including your fuels, out of plant material.
All right, there you go. And that's going to be the case, however. They might want to pick some other product because they're rapidly working to make cars illegal. In the tradition of FDR. I mean, that's what they mean by the Green New Deal, you know? We'll make the cars illegal, but the hemp will be legal. And then that brings us back to the Betsy Ross flag. It never stops. Last week, I pointed out that the Beto male, was saying white nationalists have appropriated the Betsy Ross flag. Well, you know what? They can appropriate anything that they want to, right? Socialists and Marxists have appropriated things. You know, you've got the balaclava has now been appropriated by the Antifa people. And they've even appropriated the misnomer Antifa. They're not anti-fascist. They are fascist. They're anti-First Amendment. But anyway, he says, yeah, this is a symbol of white nationalism in spite of the fact that Barack Obama, as I pointed out last week, Barack Obama's inauguration, had a bunch of very large flags hanging behind the podium. He had three modern American flags, and then on either side he had the traditional Revolutionary War American flag. But that's okay, because now it's a symbol of white nationalism, because the Beta male says so. And now we've got a Georgetown professor comparing Betsy Ross flag to a swastika, KKK cross, on an MSNBC panel. Where else? His name is Michael Eric Dyson. He said, words matter and symbols matter too, so why don't we wear a swastika for the 4th of July? Well, I don't know. I guess it makes a difference. Well, it's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. However, and of course this could be seen coming, but I didn't see it going this high, this quickly. When Nike put out these Betsy Ross shoes and then pulled them off of the market simply because Colin Kaepernick had a microaggression fit, it was pretty clear that these things are going to get very expensive, the ones that had made it out into the wild. And now there is a bid for one pair on eBay, $15,200. $15,200. So it's going to be kind of interesting to see where that ends up. That's not finished yet. But not to be let down, we have Rashida Tlaib coming in and saying that the Declaration of Independence itself is racist and sexist. I wonder how much longer we'll be allowed to celebrate the 4th of July, right? It's racist and sexist. She retweeted, along with another congresswoman, an article from Salon saying that it is, saying regardless of what it says, we're going to just say that, you know, anything affiliated with America is racist and sexist. And that's the end of story. And again, I don't really know why we celebrate the Declaration of Independence, because we don't care about what it actually says. You know, they get all upset about, oh, slavery. Slave, what? You are a slave now. Get upset about the way your government is treating you now. Look at that as a mirror of what's going on. Not with King George, but now.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. I guess when Rashida Tlaib and these others are saying, well, the Declaration of Independence is nothing but a racist and a sexist document, put together by white men, of course, and in the edited version, it didn't say enough for them about slavery. But all of this is so that you don't look at the principles that were laid down there and understand that you yourself are enslaved by the federal government far worse than anything that King George ever did to the people who rose up against him. That's the reality that they don't want you to pay any attention to. They want to divide you along race and sex lines against every possible fault line that you can, so that you don't look at the real problem that we all face, the common problem that we all face, a government that is unrestrained and has no respect for our lives or our liberty and will not allow us to pursue happiness either. But the whole process of this is to erase our civilization. And that's our law, Declaration of Independence, the founding principles, our religion, our morality, everything to be erased. Just take a look at what's going on in the UK. A British teacher identified as Susan Pappas in Croydon, South London, allegedly demanded 5 days' detention for a boy and a girl after they asked to be exempted from an LGBT lesson on June 20th during Gay Pride Month. So you can't have any freedom in that respect. You must bow down to their narrative, to their agenda, to their morality, or to their lack of morality. If they want to celebrate their sexual activity, how dare you not do it? They don't want tolerance. They are fundamentally intolerant. They demand that you follow them. They demand that you celebrate what they do. As I said last week, R.L. Dabney, in talking about how this is going to happen with education, said there is no such thing as a secular education. The question is, you know, which religion is going to be taught? And we don't have any right to demand that the government teach our religion, but we have a right to demand that they do not oppose it. And that's exactly what's happening here. One of the people, a girl, there's a boy and a girl. The girl is a Pentecostal Christian. She says she was kept in detention for 5 hours. The teacher is accused of screaming at the two children and accusing them of demanding death for LGBT members. The boy said he is a Christian, couldn't accept the promotion of the LGBT agenda. And so this is how the claim that they wanted LGBT people to die came about. After they said, well, we don't want to promote this agenda, she said to the children, do you want them to die? They said, we said no. And then she shouted at the children in front of the class, how dare you? You are a disappointment to the school. How dare you say you want to kill LGBT people? I didn't say we want to kill them. Yes, you did. Don't lie to me about it. You know, that type of thing. And then go straight to detention. And then we have the story that was pulled up by Mike Huckabee. You have a math teacher who lost her job at a private school in Southern California because she spoke out outside of school in defense of Western civilization. See, this is the type of thing that has been happening to Christians outside of school, outside of events, for quite some time. If you were to talk about your religious beliefs, even outside of school, because you were a school employee, don't you get public about your religious beliefs. We're going to fire you. And that's what they did to her now because of her political beliefs. See how this builds? It's not going to go away. American Freedom Alliance had, she gave a speech at one of their events, and it was called the Long March Through the Institutions Conference that they were running. It explored the left's ongoing multi-decade takeover attempt of numerous public and private institutions to effect a radical transformation of America. Well, of course, that's what's happened. And of course, the institution that they've had the most effect on has been schools. That's why you've got the Democrats constantly coming out with program after program. We've got some quotes here from Pocahontas and from de Blasio, who is hanging on for dear life, about to get thrown out of the debates. And so he's got to one-up everybody else in terms of free stuff. He wants free kindergarten for everybody. She wants free daycare for everybody. See, the sooner they can get your kids institutionalized, the faster they can radicalize these kids and indoctrinate them. We used to understand that. We used to deliberately make sure that parents would be the ones training the kids. And now we don't seem to understand that, but the government still understands that. They want to get them at a very young age. And so, yeah, it is a multi-decade takeover attempt, both public and private schools. And it's from kindergarten all the way through graduate school, especially graduate school. That's why they want to make that free as well. During her speech, she said, each of us here believes in an unparalleled force for good that is Western civilization. That is our heritage. Whether we were born here or not, that is our heritage, Western civilization. Shortly after that, she was told that her teaching contract at the private kindergarten through 12th grade school would not be renewed. She said, because of my outside activities, I was told my contract would not be renewed. I praised Western civilization, how it's brought the greatest good to the most number of people, how we are all its beneficiaries, including those not even from here. That was deemed hostile. Huckabee said, well, clearly it's got to be something other than that. She said, nope, that's exactly what it was. Just take a look at what's going on with the World Cup women's soccer team. The U.S. team, women's national soccer team, won. And so now they're using that. The media is playing that up very big. It's not the first time the women's team has won a World Cup. Have you ever heard of them before? Well, I mean, I don't follow sports, but I can't escape this. Why? Well, because we've got some Colin Kaepernick type of protesters protesting President Trump. And again, as soon as they won, there were chants of equal pay, after they won the World Cup. Well, let's talk about equal pay. Do you remember that time? it was reported by the Daily Mail, and it was a year or two ago, and it was the Women's World Cup team, and they played a under-15 boys team in the U.S., and they got beat by the under-15-year-old boys 5-2. And then, just to show you that it's not just a bad USA team, that USA women's team that got beaten by the under-15-year-old boys went on to beat the Russian women's team. I tweeted that out about Reagan Rapinoe and these other people. I said, so who watches this garbage? I mean, this is a quote-unquote sport where the championship teams get defeated by under-15-year-old boys. What chance do they have if they were to play a trans team? I think just for laughs. Yeah, you had this power lifter that did this in the UK. He was sick and tired of the transgender agenda and people competing in women's sports to dominate it, simply saying, well, yeah, I identify as a woman now. Well, you know, maybe somebody needs to teach, as he did with powerlifting, maybe somebody needs to teach this women's soccer team a lesson and have a bunch of boys, just 15-year-old boys, and tell them they can all come out and say, we identify as women, and so you got to let us compete in this event, and then have them sweep the field as they did before. Meanwhile, the French press is criticizing the women's soccer team for being mostly white. See, you just can't win. You play all of these intersectionality games and everything. You know, that's the whole, we used to call that just victimhood. They call it intersectionality now. And that means the intersectionality of one power group, one racial group, and so forth against the others. How do they all intersect with each other? How are all these different identities, you know, male, female, white, black, Hispanic, all these different racial, ethnic, sexual lines? You start playing that game, ladies, and people are going to call you on that as well. But that's exactly what they want. Again, going back to Colin Kaepernick, it was never about the police versus black people. It was all about polarizing the country. I mean, if you really were concerned about misconduct of the police, you would work to get white people to come in with you. But no, they went to war with whites as well as the police. Welcome back. We've had a lot of talk about the earthquakes in California. Had the first quake, and then it was followed up by another one. It was about five times bigger, I believe. 6.4 and then 7.1 or something like that. A lot of other quakes. But I want to talk about a different kind of seismic shift that is happening in large cities, especially in California. It's an economic shift. And even though the economy is doing well across the nation because of tax cuts, because President Trump has worked to stop the domination of these authoritarian capitalists who have been able to work with multinational corporations that are shutting down our speech in the digital public square, trying to establish a monopoly on the narrative. They are the same ones who have been responsible for working with authoritarian governments to do slave labor in China and so forth, and protect their markets with 10-to-1 tariff ratios. You know, I look at Justin Amash attacking President Trump. One of the things he got outraged about was the tariff issue. And it's like, I don't, how in the world can the Koch brothers and the Cato Institute and Reason Magazine, these other people who call themselves libertarians, how can they continue to sell that lie to people after 25, 30 years? We understand what that's done to our economy. We're not that stupid. We can see how exporting our factories to China, letting things be built over there, slave labor, where they feel free to violate copyrights at will. They pirate designs and produce the stuff over there, where they protect their markets with tariffs that are 10 times as high as what we charge. You know, they charge 25% on something that we're selling, the same good that we charge 2.5% if they send it to us. And President Trump said, look, you're going to either reduce your stuff to where ours is, you know, take your 25% tariff for that same product that you're keeping us from selling into China's market, that you're selling into our market. Take that 25% tariff and drop it at 2.5%. If you want to go to zero, that's fine with me. We'll both go to zero. But we're going to match you. And if you don't go to 2.5%, we're going to take it up to 25%. Look at the panic with Wall Street, with the establishment Republican Party about that. Crying crocodile tears. Come on, give me a break. And so we understand how it has eviscerated us, and it's not enough that they export our factories. Now they have to import cheap workers. That's why nothing is being done at the border. The Democrats want the voters. They want the dependents, quite frankly. They want a large underclass of people who are dependent on government handouts and free stuff, who don't care about freedom. They just want free stuff. They want a higher standard of living. And so that's why the Democrats are giving them welfare and benefits that are superior to what's given to American citizens. And that really ought to be the tack that President Trump takes. Got to point out to people, you like the fact that the Democrats are handing out free in-state tuition or in-state tuition subsidies to people in every one of the states if they're from a foreign country, but you don't get that as an American citizen. You only get in-state tuition in the state that you're living in. That type of thing. Talk about the superior benefits that they're offering people. And so we see that they're bringing in, for the Republicans, they're bringing in cheap labor. But how is this working out in L.A.? We are going, they're preparing us all to live in a smart city, controlled city, technological panopticon, where they watch everything that you do, monitor everything that you do, give you a score, ban you from jobs, ban you from transportation, the same way that these same corporations are now banning you from social media. And then all of this goes to an austerity and a poverty, not being allowed to have cars, not being allowed to afford a home. Why? Because your American dream is dead if the Democrats are going to bring in everybody in every foreign country that wants a free education from kindergarten to graduate school, and you're going to build all those schools for them, you're going to pay for it in property taxes. So forget about owning a home. Forget about even owning a big apartment. You're going to own something like this. Renters in L.A. and San Francisco are paying $1,200 a month for a bunk bed in a shared space. This is 10 to 15 co-ed bunk beds in six locations across California. It's the thing called pod share. You can rent a bed. And again, looking at these pictures, they've got anywhere from 15 bunk beds per space. I'm only looking at one wall here. So they got four of them on a wall. And they've got chalk board between the bunk beds up and down. And they write the name of the person up and the name of the person down so they can just erase that like a piece of chalk as the people rotate through there. But yeah, $35 to $50 a night, or you can get it for a month for $1,500. And you can just sleep there in a common room with everybody else. That's what they have in mind for you, as the standard of living shrinks in America, starting, of course, first in the Democrat areas, L.A. and San Francisco. You know, President Trump's strength right now at this point is the fact that the economy is doing really well. Remember when Lehman Brothers and others started going south in 2008? We got a big bank right now that is on the ropes, and hopefully it's not going to become a trend. Hopefully it's not going to trigger a bunch of other banks. It is Deutsche Bank. And 6 days ago, the article was talking about how in the U.S. headquarters in New York, morale was so low that the people who worked for Deutsche Bank were leaving to go drink at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and that they were conducting job searches in front of their bosses. So this is something that was known was going to happen, and it broke yesterday. They put numbers on it. Deutsche Bank, one of the biggest banks in the world, is no more, they said. They're going to exit the equity market. They're going to have an $8.4 billion overhaul. They're going to fire thousands of people. This news, the details of it, broke yesterday afternoon. And they announced that it was exiting its equity sales and trading operation, resizing its once legendary fixed income and rates operations, reports Zero Hedge. They said they're going to be slashing as many as 20,000 jobs, including many top officials. And they're going to create, listen to this, something called a quote-unquote bad bank. Bad bank. Deutsche Bank, Breaking Bad. Here we go. 74 billion euros to fund a bad bank as part of a reorganization that will cost up to 7.4 billion euros by the end of 2022. Again, they're saying out of a workforce of about 74,000 employees, they expect to slash at least 18,000 jobs by 2022. When you look at this, it's very concerning because, again, the economy is the trump card, if you will, of Donald Trump. And we don't want to see that go south for a variety of reasons that will certainly be seized on by the Democrats if we have a meltdown like the banks in Washington created in 2008. When we come back, we're going to take a look at the Democrat asylum. Who's going to be in? Who's going to be out in the next debate? What are they promising people? You know, every day it's another free handout. You know, hundreds of billion dollars here to black people from Kamala Harris. You know, she's feeling guilty about that. I guess, you know, she felt guilty about the fact that she's throwing them to the back of the bus with her open borders program. Yeah, that's right. They're taking a back seat to the foreign citizens coming in. Of course, Kamala Harris is not black. Her father's Jamaican, and he said, we are disgusted by her identity politics. But it is the identity politics that gets them where they are. They all have a special identity. And when we come back, we'll tell you about the witch that was happened over the weekend.
Using free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. Did you know that a Democrat debate is coming up again? The end of this month, end of July. And they're looking at who is going to be culled from these unwieldy spectacles where they have their rehearsed sound bites that they throw at each other in a hit-and-run tactic and don't discuss anything of any substance, nothing that has to do with any liberty, of course. Everything is about mandates and giveaways and taxes and redistribution, reparations, and so forth. It looks like they've got 14 candidates who have qualified for the July 30th and 31st debates, achieving both of the standards that have been set out by the DNC. And that would include, of all things, Marianne Williamson. You know, Marianne Williamson, I was laughing when she was the night that I did the debate with Robert Barnes. It's the second night. And that night they had all of the front runners, except for Elizabeth Warren, who'd been on the previous night. And so we got stuff about the front runners that we're talking about. I didn't really even really look up Marianne Williamson. And I thought it was kind of interesting. Everybody was saying, oh, she's just an author. Or they might say she's a self-help author. I didn't do any investigation on her because she's zero in the polls, absolutely 0% of the polls. And the criteria, of course, was not how well you did in the polls. They kept Mike Gravel out, even though he was polling much higher than many of the candidates who had 0%. Not just Marianne Williamson, but also like de Blasio, they got in. They were looking at money, you know, because money walks, money talks and BS walks when it comes to the debates. That's especially the true of the Democrats. And so they wanted at least 65,000 contributors giving at least $1. And that gets you into the debate. You could buy your way in the debate in the same way that Hillary Clinton bought the DNC in the last election. They were millions of dollars in debt, and she took some of her ill-gotten gains, paid off their debts, and made herself the darling of the superdelegates. But, yeah, you could get in if you had 65,000 people who had contributed at least a dollar. That was the criteria. You didn't have to have any support in the polls. And they had many candidates who had 0%. And Marianne Williamson was one of those, and she's going to be coming back. New York Times had an interesting article about her background. Again, I said I didn't look it up because it's like this person is nobody. But actually, she is very well known by the Hollywood people, and she has no trouble getting the money because she's part of the Oprah Winfrey crowd. And she's somebody who goes back to, the 1970s. You have all these Democrats. They don't have any way to distinguish themselves from the other people, except for how much they want, how much money of your money they want to give to other people. They're all competing on handing out free stuff. But their main way that they compete against each other, because they all agree that everything should be free as possible. We're even going to have Mexicare, right? You know, free health care for everybody in the world. Anybody can come here. We'll call it Mexicare. And the only way that they compete with each other is with their identity politics. They'll make up an identity if they need to, you know, like Robert Francis O'Rourke in his not-so-secret identity became Beto, the trans-Hispanic. He identified as Hispanic. So you've got Kamala Harris, who identifies as a Black American, even though she's not African American. She's got a mother who's Indian. She's got a father who is Jamaican. And she's trying to hand out money to people because they're Black, you know. So they've all got a secret identity. It turns out Marianne Williamson's identity is not an author, not even a self-help author. She's a witch. She's one of these prototypical California flakes talking about inner peace and love and all this. Going back to this kind of a New Age religion that was created by some psychologist, I think it was, psychologist or lawyer in New York. But she got very popular in New York with crystals and all this talk about inner peace and love healing everything. And then she went to California, got there about the time the AIDS epidemic was breaking. And she decided she'd go around and help people, you know, let them get rid of that inner anger and bring in all the love and the inner peace, and they're going to live longer that way. And she would give advice like, imagine, think of your AIDS, the disease, as if it's Darth Vader. And you're going to walk up to Darth Vader and you're going to unzip his suit and just let that angel out. Good advice. That I'm sure she cured a lot of people with AIDS using that that advice. But that gets you on the stage of the Democrat debates. People like that. And because she was involved in the AIDS community, she was able to actually marry Liz Taylor for the eighth and final time. She conducted the wedding of Elizabeth Taylor on her eighth wedding. And she did it at Michael Jackson's Neverland. Nothing to be concerned about there, right? Yeah, it's probably more strange than Darth Vader. Nothing to be concerned about that. And then she started writing books, and now she's got a very popular book because she's writing, you know, now getting involved in politics. But there you go. I mean, that's her identity. You know, they, again, superheroes, these guys are the unmarvelous superheroes. They don't have any special powers except for their identities, and they don't want to keep that identity secret. As a matter of fact, they run on that identity. Vote for me. I'm this color. I'm that color. I'm male. I'm female. Or I'm a witch. In her particular case. And she's made it to the next debate. She made the cut. Of course. Of course. It can't have a debate without the witches being represented. Because we know that more people identify as witches in the United States than identify as mainline Presbyterian. John Delaney, some of the people who are on the watch list for suicide in the Democrat Party are John Delaney of Maryland, former Governor John Hickenlooper of Colorado, Representative Tim Ryan of Ohio. They still, though, have an advantage over the other four people that are out there. They're kind of hanging on the list. The people who are really on a watch list, a bunch of names that you don't know. Bill de Blasio, Eric Swalwell, be two that you do know. They are hanging on for dear life in the Democrat debates. But just to show you how important it is to move ahead in the polls, de Blasio, let's play video clip number 8 first. De Blasio, because he's hanging on, he's got to come up with more free stuff to throw out there. And he's got an idea. Here's de Blasio's idea about how to be relevant and to stay in the Democrat debates.
plan for Medicare for All include gender confirmation or reassignment surgeries?
Absolutely. We have to respect everyone's medical needs.
Medicare
for
All.
And if someone needs a surgery to be whole and to live their life fully, the idea is a healthcare system that actually serves everyone to the fullest, not a healthcare system that rations and causes people to struggle to get just a little healthcare.
Well, maybe you ought to take a look at how the National Health Service and every one of these other healthcare services that are run by principles of socialism, they all have rationing, de Blasio. They all have rationing. Even the place that you love so much, Cuba's Castro's Cuba, they have rationing there as well. So you're going to ration one way or the other. You're going to serve somebody, or you're going to serve somebody, as Bob Dylan said, and you're going to ration one way or the other. You can have the government making all the decisions, so the people who comprise the biggest voting bloc or the people who have the most clout will get the benefits. They'll be the ones selling the health care. They'll be the ones determining which health care you get. And if we let the government run health care, as I spent the first part of the program talking about, you're going to get that health care good and hard. You're going to have mandated health care in many different ways. As one individual on Market Watch said, what we need to have is real debates. If they don't have real debates, the Democrats probably aren't going to win at all. And here's what he suggested. He said, first of all, he said, these are not really debates. They're really kind of America Lacks Talent, an unreality show. They're about people swapping canned sound bites, you know, like Beto O'Rourke. He already had pre-memorized in bad Spanish what he was going to say, and it was a complete non-answer, non-sequitur to what he was asked. They're about people swapping canned sound bites, hoping one of them goes viral on YouTube. They insult voters. They weaken our democracy. They may cost the Democrats the presidential election. Let's certainly hope so. I mean, he suggests having a real debate. We have the candidates go one-on-one. Can't say mano a mano, right? That'd be man to man. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Perhaps you've seen this article about the Detroit Youth Music Festival. They are going to offer two different prices. One price for white people, another price for people of color. People of color get it at half the price as the white people do. It's called the Afro Future Fest. Now, there's been a little bit of a bump in the road for this. You've had one leading rapper has withdrawn from the event. Detroit-based rapper Jillian Graham, who goes by the stage name Tiny Jag, withdrew from the event because of the race-based prices. Good for him or her. I don't know if Jillian is a guy or girl. I don't follow rap. But also interesting is that Eventbrite, which is the website that people can go to buy tickets to this event, for example, has said that they will remove the ability for people to buy tickets if they don't change the terms. If they're going to charge white people twice as much as they do everybody else, they said, we're not going to let them do this. They said, we do not permit events that require attendees to pay different prices based on their protected characteristics, such as race or ethnicity. Which leads me to ask the question, why is Kamala Harris allowed to be on the debate stage, or most of the other Democrats, for that matter, right? All of them are talking about race reparations. Isn't that charging people a different price based on the color of their skin? Exactly what it is. Kamala Harris has now gone even farther. She's now put in some details here. She's proposing a $100 billion plan to give black families a real shot at home ownership. And, of course, this is a way of actually doing reparations. I said, well, how's that going to work out? You know, how do you determine who gets taxed and who doesn't? Well, they don't necessarily have to tax people. I just put it on the tab, right? That's the way the federal government does it. Until the fiat currency implodes, we just keep adding stuff to the tab. But they're going to give away money, that's for sure. Give away money to people if they are black. She said the grants would help an estimated 4 million individuals or families. Now, listen to the income levels. If you're an individual, you could make up to $100,000 a year and still get a $25,000 grant from HUD. you know, just to help you along. If you're a family, you could make $125,000 a year and still get a $25,000 handout from the federal government because you're black. White people need not apply. This is Kamala Harris's equivalent to that Detroit Youth Festival. And, subsidies based on skin color. And again, she is a prime example, along with Barack Obama. Neither one of them are African American. And they're only half African, if you will. Her father is a retired Stanford University economics professor. We've talked about this before, Donald Harris. He was born in Jamaica. He arrived in the U.S. in the 1960s. He married an Indian cancer researcher. And then they separated after they gave birth to the two daughters. But he wrote in his biography, and we reported this months ago when she started all this talk about reparations. He said, her father said, Kamala Harris's father said, my roots go back within my lifetime to my paternal grandmother, Miss Chrissy. And she was a descendant of Hamilton Brown, who is on record as a plantation and a slave owner and a founder of Brownstown, and so forth. Yeah. So, as I said before, Barack Obama has a black father that he claims is from Africa, not from America. He's not African American. And he has a white mother. I don't know if on his mother's side, on the white side, if they own slaves. But he's only half black, and he's descended from a black person who was never enslaved. And then you got Kamala Harris, who is now pushing reparations for blacks. And again, you can make up to $100,000 as an individual, and she'll still hand you out $25,000 because of your skin color. I have never seen a more racist candidate. I mean, you got to go back to the days of George Wallace or Lester Maddox before you find anybody approaching the racism of Kamala Harris. And her own family has denounced her for that. Going to give out $100 billion to people just because of their skin color. And the amount of money that they can make is absolutely amazing. You can make six-figure income and still get a $25,000 handout. That ought to be the end of her candidacy. Somebody needs to tell Eventbrite that they are not going to be allowed, they shouldn't be selling tickets to the Democrat National Convention or to their debates, because most of these candidates are just like her. You know, here she is, even worse than Barack Obama. She not only doesn't have anybody in her family that was ever enslaved, but she actually owns slaves. So if you're feeling guilty about this, and of course she isn't, that's not why she's doing this. But I would say to her, if she's feeling guilty about it, pay people out of your own pocket. You made a lot of money as a politician. Let's take a quick look at what's going on with Jeffrey Epstein. And I talk about this because, first of all, it is a horrendous miscarriage of justice. It's been 10 years since he was given a pass by the people that were there. And, of course, there's a lot of Republican connections. You know, you got Ken Starr, who was his defense lawyer. And then you've got the Health and Human Services, Secretary of Labor, Alexander Acosta, was the U.S. attorney that gave him that sweetheart deal, and now he is Trump's Secretary of Labor. So they're hoping that they can pull all this stuff together as an attack on President Trump. But I don't think it's going to work out that way, and I'll tell you why. First of all, Epstein's been arrested. He's expected to be arraigned in federal court today on charges he molested dozens of underage girls in New York and Florida. And this comes nearly 2 weeks after the Justice Department announced that it would not throw out the agreement that said he gets off scot-free. So they had an agreement back in 2008. So we're not going to throw that out. We're going to abide by that agreement. Even though a federal judge ruled that that agreement was illegal, that's not a problem for the Department of Justice. They do illegal stuff all the time. If they like you, no problem. If they don't like you, you better watch your back, because they're going to make up stuff about you. We've seen it happen to the Bundys. We've seen it happen to many, many people. I've talked about this over and over again. The criminal way that the Department of Justice operates. And, of course, we saw it with President Trump as well prior to this attorney general. But, of course, the attorney general that's there now. Even, and again, we look at the Bundy case. You had people there convicted who didn't do anything wrong. As far as I know, they're still in jail. They didn't have their convictions overturned. They would have gotten the Bundys again. The judge rigged all the rules. They would have put them in jail if they hadn't had a whistleblower, an honest man inside the BLM that exposed all that stuff. They wouldn't. They said, you can't even talk about the different issues here. And even after the judge pulled back and said, whoa, I got this whistleblower here. I'm not going to keep pushing this for the feds anymore. I'm not going to keep turning this into a kangaroo court. Even after that, this corrupt Department of Justice said, well, I think we're going to try to reopen that, after she dismissed it with prejudice. So now these same people are saying, well, we don't want to reopen that can of worms with Jeffrey Epstein. No, no, no. Don't want to do that. And so they're going to make a lot of the about the fact that Alex Acosta is there. And it should. I mean, this guy is not qualified for office. That should have disqualified him. That case right there should have disqualified him. And, of course, he's got the Lolita Express and he's got the private islands. And that is the real issue. The real issue is his connection with Bill Clinton. And you've got some people saying that actually Nancy Pelosi's daughter, who is a superdelegate, said on Twitter, it's quite likely that some of our faves are implicated. But we must follow the facts and let the chips fall where they may. Well, that fave may be the Clintons. As the New York Post pointed out in 2016, Jeffrey Epstein and the Clintons are very close. Flight logs show that from 2001 to 2003, Bill Clinton flew on his private plane, dubbed the Lolita Express, 26 times. He donated, Epstein donated $25,000 to the Clinton Foundation in that year. And when they try to put it against President Trump, they point out one Florida attorney who got a 2018 financial settlement said that President Trump was the only person who provided assistance when he served subpoenas and notices to high-profile individuals. He said, back in 2009, President Trump was the only one who said, he got on the phone, he said, I'll give you as much time as you want, I'll tell you what you need to know, and he said he was very helpful. But they're going to try to use this to come after President Trump in the same way that they did with the dirty dossier. As a matter of fact, Fusion GPS has already tried to implicate President Trump with Jeffrey Epstein, and they failed in the election. But that doesn't mean that they're not going to continue to lie about that and come after him again. All right, folks, that's it for the program today. Please don't forget to go by InfoWarsStore.com. We've got lots of discounts. So we've got 50% store-wide on all of our InfoWars Live products. We have free shipping and double Patriot points. We also have limited edition T-shirts. We have Clown World, Space Force, and a new T-shirt, the Betsy Ross 1776 shirt. Four different styles of that and a limited print run of that. So make sure you get there, all 50% off. All products, free shipping, and double Patriot points. Thanks for joining us.